From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Last November, the New York Times Magazine made an ominous declaration. The insect apocalypse is here. Insects are disappearing, they said, and that could have implications for all life on Earth. A few months later, The Atlantic took a stab at the story, but their headline ended up with a question mark at the end. Is the insect apocalypse really upon us? And then Gizmodo weighed in with this winner of a headline, Bug Scientists Squash Insect Apocalypse Paper. In short, there's been a lot of media attention focused on bugs lately, and there seems to be a lot of debate about their status. That's where my next guests come in. David Wagner is an entomologist and a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at University of Connecticut. Eliza Grahams is a PhD candidate there, and they're part of a newly launched EntoGem project, an effort to map what we do and don't know about the status of insects. Welcome to the show to both of you.
Hi, Heather. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to be here.
This work is, as I understand it, a direct response to the New York Times Magazine piece and other media coverage about the possibility of an insect apocalypse. Where did that idea and all of this concern get its start?
So the project got its start actually from a tweet by one of our collaborators, Neil Hadaway, who was asking about the methods used in a different paper recently that reviewed the status of insects. And we started talking about how there was all of this media coverage and people are really excited about insect declines right now, but we don't really know the current state of knowledge on them, and that we should use systematic mapping techniques and evidence synthesis to figure out what we do and don't know.
So let's talk a little bit about the research that has been put out there so far and that has fed some of this media coverage. I mean, one study earlier this year was a review of the existing research and concluded that insects as a whole will go down the path of extinction in a few decades, led to headlines that we could see the end of insects this century, but then others pointing out, well, yeah, but they only looked for studies with the word decline in them. If there were studies showing insects in some places or certain types of insects on the rise, they wouldn't have even found that. So how controversial and how perhaps surprising is this idea that insects widely as a whole might be in decline?
Well, I think there's pretty good evidence, just based on first principles, that insects are declining. Much of the planetary surface at this point is being deforested, much of it turned into agriculture. So we know that all biodiversity, plants, mammals, birds, and insects are in decline. And we have to make space for biodiversity and the life that we love and the ecosystem processes that they provide. We can't keep going down the route we're doing without thinking about all these ecosystem services that insects provide. So the big question, and Eliza already pointed this out, is we don't know sort of the magnitude. We don't know the rate. We don't exactly know where insects are declining and what lineages. So there's a lot of questions left. But we do know they are in decline. And we probably know enough now that we can act and start making some important conservation decisions.
Why is it so hard to know where and how dramatically insects are declining or what kinds of insects are declining?
Well, part of it is just their sheer diversity. Over half the organisms on the planet that we can see with our eyes when we go out in the woods or a field are insects. And so we're talking about millions of species, and it's hard pegging data to those individual lineages or taxa or species. But there's this other problem that insects, by and large, are boom and bust species. They have good years and bad years. We all know this. In New England right now, we're having gypsy moth trouble again, right? So, but 3 years from now, there won't be so many gypsy moths because the natural enemies are going to catch up with them. But we can go out and we can measure how many grizzly bears we have or how many cardinals that are out there, and that's probably going to be more or less constant from year to year, and we'll see steady declines or increases, what have you. With insects, you could collect that census data 10 years in a row and not really know if they were increasing or declining. And what we're seeing from the good studies is that we have declines of 1 or 2% per year, and that's a very small amount to see and measure, but it has catastrophic consequences in the sense that if we lost 10% for a decade, and that happened two or three decades in a row, we're losing pollination services. You know, we're jeopardizing food security. This is a big deal.
Well, Eliza Grames, your graduate research at University of Connecticut is focusing on ways to improve how we take the data that we do have and synthesize that into a broader picture. And in particular, for the Entegem project, you're trying to use a technique called data maps. What does that mean?
So systematic mapping is a technique to find all of the studies, published and unpublished, on a topic and then describe them by their characteristics, which we can use to identify knowledge clusters and knowledge gaps. So knowledge clusters would be things that have been studied a lot, either taxonomically or regionally. And then the gaps are areas where we need new primary studies because we're lacking data. And so we're using that to identify all of these studies out there on insect populations and biodiversity trends so that we can get a sense of where we need to prioritize research.
How is that better than the technique that has traditionally been used, and that we were just talking about one study like this, where researchers go and just do a search, a keyword search through a database of published studies and synthesize what they then get back and read on their own?
So it avoids a lot of the biases that can come in there. If a single group of researchers is doing a review and doesn't have an established protocol in advance laying out how they're going to find studies, they can end up kind of, you know, finding one subset of studies that are all on a similar topic or introducing bias based on articles that they're already familiar with. And so it's not a transparent process where anybody can look at it from the outside and figure out what has gone wrong. And so you're not really getting the complete picture with a traditional review that you would get from evidence synthesis techniques like systematic mapping.
So with your project now, the Entegem project, you're looking to start later this summer in August the process of screening articles or studies to be included in your data map. Who can participate in this?
Anybody who is concerned about insect populations globally, so that includes, you know, professional entomologists, conservation biologists, grad students, anyone even from like nature centers, people who organize bioblitzes, or just insect enthusiasts who want to participate in the project. We've got it set up so that whenever we're finding and screening articles, multiple people will make decisions on the same article, so that we can be pretty confident that we've made the correct decision about whether or not an article meets the criteria to be included in the map. So anybody can participate as long as they are concerned about insects.
That means anybody could go out and find an article and say, hey, I think this should be part of it, and send that to you. But also anybody could get a little bit of training from you guys and go through and screen what's already been submitted and say, yes, this should be included. No, it shouldn't. I mean, those are the kinds of decisions that you're crowdsourcing, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. So we have people have actually already submitted articles to us that they think merit consideration to be included in the map. And then we are working with cisrev.com, which is an open access platform for screening. So people can sign up. They can get training on systematic mapping techniques and get involved that way.
This obviously is not a quick turnaround project, but how long do you think it will be, Eliza Grames, until you have some sort of answer about what we do and don't know and what the existing body of research does say about the status of insects?
We've got the protocol posted online right now already, and we've been soliciting public comments on it. And so we're hoping then, like you said, to get screening going in August, and that should take a month or two. And so we should hopefully have a pretty solid data set of what studies exist by the end of the year. And then we can move forward from there to look at the knowledge clusters and do more in-depth syntheses, like we can do meta-analyses on topics where there's enough studies out there to get a better picture of what's going on with insects.
David Wagner, as an entomologist and an ecologist, you've already said that insects probably are widely on the decline. That could have widespread implications, including things like pollination of food crops. As the scientific community, the Entegem project and others presumably also trying to get a handle on what we do and don't know and what the status of insects are, as that process works its way through, what should we be doing in the meantime? You've already said you think that we have enough information to start making some conservation choices. What might those be?
Well, a big finding of the recent reviews is that we're finding declines even inside our parks and preserves. This is particularly true in Europe. And I think we have to sort of rethink how we treat lands. Humans are already converting maybe 60% of the land area of the planet for silviculture and agriculture. other intensive grazing and intensive land uses. And what we need to do is maybe make those processes more nature-friendly and do a better job of protecting biodiversity, not just in our parks and our preserves. The decisions we make about planting gardens in our yard, whether to plant natives versus ornamentals that don't support any caterpillar life, and if they don't support any caterpillar life, they don't support any bird life. We might as well be putting up signs in our front yard, "Birds not welcome here," when we plant our yards with ornamentals. So there's all kinds of projects at a local level, and then even at the industrial agricultural level, that where we could change our practices and do things in a more nature-friendly way. So these are the kinds of things we have to do. We have to start making some policy decisions. We have to open up some funding streams so we can monitor insects and also figure out how to do things in a better way, maybe promote organic farming to a greater extent. And another thing that's very, very important for insects and for all of the wildlife that we love and wildflowers, we have to stop putting carbon into the atmosphere and scale back and figure out where our energy sources are going to be without putting carbon into the atmosphere. These are the kinds of things that we can start acting on now.
That is David Wagner. He is an entomologist and a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at University of Connecticut. Eliza Grahams is a PhD candidate at the University of Connecticut, and they are part of a newly launched EntoGem project to map what we do and don't know about the decline of insects. Thank you both so much.
Thanks for having us, Heather.
It's been a pleasure.
Up next, researchers want to make better prosthetic legs. Volunteers are tripping over and over again to help them. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.